Hello, and welcome to Contending for the Faith radio broadcast. I am Mark Leffert from Pray and Go Gospel Proclamation Ministry. And here at Pray and Go, we focus on training other believers to share the gospel while we ourselves lead by example. We also purpose to expose the many false teachings that are so prevalent today in the professed church. And over the last two radio shows, we've been talking about the doctrine of repentance. And we looked at in the beginning how the Apostle Paul, at the end of Romans chapter 3 and the beginning of Romans chapter 4, keeps talking about how that salvation is without works, or should we say justification. Saving faith for justification is without works. And we looked at how repentance is actually a turning from self, a turning from your own works. And then last week we looked at that verse in 2 Corinthians 7:10 that says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." And we tried to help you understand that there is a sorrow that is carnal, and that sorrow leads to death. So we need to define why we are sorry over our sin. Are we sorry over our sin because of the consequences, or are we sorry over our sin because we have sinned against God? We have sinned against a holy and a good God. And is that the reason why we are sorry? And repentance is a work of the Holy Spirit, we will always sorrow after a godly sort. And that is a sorrow that comes from God. And then it is a sorrow that goes to God because we have offended Him. And that repentance that is worked in the heart through the work of the Holy Spirit will always lead to faith in Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our subject today, as I would like to talk about faith and what is biblical saving faith. Again, I think there's much confusion on this in the church today, or should I say the professed church. Many people think that faith is simply a mental apprehension, that you could just agree with a set of historical facts and that makes you a Christian. I grew up in church my whole life with that kind of idea of faith, thinking that because I knew the historical facts about Jesus and would generally agree with them, that that is what made me a Christian. And what we see in the scripture is that faith, again, is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's not of yourselves. And I want to read three verses. Two of them are very popular and you're probably familiar with them. And the third one you may not be as familiar with, but I want to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. And it says this: "For by grace you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So let's pray before we get into the explanation of this text. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we come before you. God, would you please help us with your word? Oh, Father, I need help, God, to understand this text and to expound it properly. And I pray, God, for those who would hear this broadcast, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, they would come to true repentance and faith for those who need it, and for those who are already born again, that they would that this would be made real, that they might be able to preach it to others. I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now, as we look at this text, we see in verse number 8, it says, not of yourselves. In verse number 9, it says, not of works. But then, if you look in verse number 10, it says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So those are the three things I'd like to look at. First of all, saving faith is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It says that right there in verse number 8. And saving faith comes from a work of the Holy Spirit in the heart. It's not just a mental apprehension of the truth, but it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And when that revelation through the power of the Holy Spirit is born in a man, and when he's born again through the work of the Spirit, that saving faith comes, and that saving repentance comes, and it is a gift that comes from God. But the main part I want to focus on here is, how do works relate to faith? And it's very interesting, because some people would say that, you know, works are totally irrelevant to the Christian life. And that leads to what we call antinomianism, which simply means, the word means against the law, or it leads to lasciviousness. That type of thinking that says that the law is totally irrelevant to the Christian life, or that the Christian is totally not accountable for any works, leads to a sinful lifestyle, and certainly is not Christian. And Paul dealt with that in his message, that in Romans chapter 5, verse 22, he says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And then right in the next verse in Romans 6, 1, Paul asked the question, do we therefore continue in evil that good may come? And the answer is, God forbid. Or you could say, let that never be said. So on one side, you have people that look at works and how they're connected to faith for salvation, and they say that they're totally irrelevant in the Christian life, which leads to antinomianism. But then you have the other side of the coin. You have people that say that it's faith plus works for salvation, and that's called legalism. And it's a damning error that many of the Christian cults teach, the apostolic church, many in the apostolic, many in the Church of Christ, even the Mormons and the Jehovah Witnesses. They're all caught up on this fact that you have to do something. You have to, you know, be baptized. You have to perform good works. You have to be obedient plus faith for justification. So this is very important to understand. How do works fit into our Christian life? And if you don't understand this, I fear you don't understand faith at all. So how do faith and works work together in the Christian life? So here in verse number 9, it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what we see is that in justification, our works are separated from our faith. You see that in Romans 3:28. The Apostle Paul says, we therefore conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Separated from the deeds of the law. So in justification, or could we say up front in our salvation, it is by faith alone that we are saved, or that we are justified. It's by faith in Christ, by faith in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that saves a man. By placing our trust in Christ, we are taking our faith off of ourselves, because by nature, every one of us would think that we are a good person and that we are doing something to save ourselves. But faith without works leads to justification. Now that brings us to the second part of it, which is, how do works then fit into salvation? Well, we have here in verse number 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." So in our sanctification, there are good works. In other words, James says in James 2, faith without works is dead. Once that faith that is imparted to us through the work of the Holy Spirit is operating in us through the power of the Spirit, through regeneration, it will produce good works. And if the good works are not there, it just simply shows that the faith is not there. Or should I say, the faith without works is not there. Because many, many people will claim to have faith in Jesus and even be able to quote the tenets of the faith, but they're still trusting in their works. They're Galatianized. They're still thinking that their works are bringing them God's favor. And to whatever degree you do that, it is erroneous. Whether you add your baptism to faith and say you're saved, or whether you add your sinner's prayer to faith and say you're saved, it's very similar. Now, I see that adding baptism to faith for salvation would be much more serious of an error than praying the sinner's prayer. But at the same time, there is definitely a similarity there, that people, when you ask them if they're going to heaven, often the first thing that comes out of their mouth, and this is what I'm listening for, when I'm out sharing the gospel with people and I ask them, if you were to stand before God right now and he asked you, why should I let you in heaven, what would your answer be? Often, the first word that comes out of their mouth, and that's the word I'm listening for, is I. I received Jesus. I repented. I was baptized. I whatever. Just put it in there. And that's why many are deceived, because they think that they're trusting Jesus, but they're still trusting I. That's their testimony, and their testimony speaks against them. Why am I saved? I am saved because of the work of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Apostle Paul gives his testimony in Acts 20, when he gives his testimony in Acts 26, when he gives his testimony in Galatians 1, it's always the same. He first starts his testimony by saying that he was a persecutor of the church. He was a hater of God. And then God revealed himself to him and saved him. Read those accounts of Paul's testimony. Paul says the opposite. He doesn't say, I received Jesus, or I did this, or I did anything. His point in his testimony is that he's going in the opposite direction. He was a persecutor of the church. He was a hater of God's people. He was murdering and imprisoning them. But God saved him by his grace. The Lord Jesus Christ confronted him face to face and turned him. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, the apostle was regenerated and brought to new life. This is what salvation is. It's by grace, through faith, without your works. So for justification, how do works fit into justification? And the simple answer is that they don't. But I think we have to go further than that. Because I think a lot of people will say, that I used to say often, well, you're not saved by works. You're not saved by works. And that's true. But I think the deeper question, if we can drill down a little further to really see where you're at or where other people are at, I think we have to go deeper than that. And the question is, and I think this is the point that Paul is driving home in the end of Romans 3 and the beginning of Romans 4. You think of that verse in Romans 4, 5, where he says, to him that worketh not, but believes in him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So the question isn't, can you just say, well, you're not saved by works? No, the question is, have you turned from your works? Because every man, before he's regenerate, is working his way to heaven. Every man, before he's regenerate, is looking at the guy next to him saying, I'm not as bad as he is. Every person is excusing themselves. They're justifying themselves. They're in this religious system of works.
And Proverbs tells us that every man will proclaim his own works. And this is the tragic problem of all humanity, is that we by nature rely on our works. But for the believer, we have come to the realization that our works are worthless unless they are done in Christ and for Christ.
Just fear that many will say that it's not of works, but still, in their heart, they're in a system of works. They have not turned from their works. And I think that way of thinking comes from a misunderstanding of depravity. In other words, you will turn from your works when you see you have no works. Every work you have done until the day you're saved is against God. Whether it's good, bad, or in between, however you judge it. Because your heart is evil. Because that is the problem. The problem is not as we so fail to see that the problem is in the heart. It's not in what we're doing. As Jesus would so clearly teach in Mark chapter 7 and verse 20, Jesus says, that which comes out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, an evil eye, lasciviousness, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile the man. My friends, if you've never come out of the way of thinking that sin is just what you do, and it's not who you are, I fear you've never come to true repentance and faith. I fear you've never truly turned from your works. Because when you understand the heart, the condition of the human heart, when the Holy Spirit reveals that to you through the scripture, as we just read in Mark's gospel, you'll turn from your works. You'll have no choice, because you'll see all your good deeds are as filthy rags before God. So as we come back to our question, how do works fit in with faith in the Christian life? We must conclude that in justification, they must be turned from. You must turn from your works and see that your works, if that's what you're trusting in to get you to heaven, will bring you to hell. And that's really the big obstacle. I mean, the natural man can come to the conclusion that the bad things he's done, you know, he's going to have to pay for that. But it takes a work of the Spirit of God to show us that it is by faith alone. It is by faith alone, because all of my works are vile and wretched, no matter how good they may appear to men. You know, whether I am helping the old lady across the street or whether I'm selling drugs on the corner, If I'm not in Christ, they both lead to hell. And until we understand that, I don't think we can truly come to saving faith. But now on the other end, once someone does come to saving faith through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, we see that works will be produced. And why is that? That is because salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit. I think we can ask two questions on why. And we can ask how, and we can ask why. How do these works come to the Christian? Number one, how is because it's the work of the Holy Spirit. When you're regenerated, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So first, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. And then that work of the Holy Spirit changes our motive. It changes what we want. And therefore, it produces good works. So the Lord Jesus Christ said that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So really, we can say if you believe in Christ, I think we would all agree that if you believe or have faith in Christ, that you will love Christ. The two are almost synonymous, to say that you love Christ or you have faith in Christ. So often when I'm on the streets and I talk to people and they say, oh, I believe in Jesus, I love Jesus. And I say, how do you know that? By what, you know, what's the proof of that? And often they don't know, so I quote the scripture to them and I tell them that it is, if you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. You know, 1 John, if any man says they love God and does not keep his commandments, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. So the evidence that someone loves Christ or believes in Christ is that they will obey him. Because that is the work of the Spirit. God did not save us for our purpose. He saved us for his purpose, which is to glorify himself. And he is glorified in how we live. He's glorified in the fact that we bring forth good works. But back to my question, when I ask people on the streets, how do you know you believe or you love Christ? And I have to bring them to the point of them understanding that it's if you keep the commandments. Well, the next logical question is, what is Christ commanding you to do? And when I ask people that question on the streets, when I ask them, what is Christ commanding you to do? They have a blank look on their face, or their jaw just kind of drops. They have no idea. My friends, how can we say we love Christ, we believe in Christ, when we don't even know what he wants us to do? If that's not what we are seeking, and I ask you today, are you seeking Christ's will? Are you seeking in the scripture, in the gospels, where the Lord Jesus Christ makes clear commands? And then through the epistles, as the apostles are teaching us, often at the end of the epistles, how we ought to live. Are you seeking these things? Or are you just living your life like everybody else does? Always trying to get what best advantages you. Always trying to get ahead in this world. Are you living like that, like the worldlings do? Or are you truly one of Christ? And if you're truly one of Christ, if you truly have faith alone in Christ, you will be seeking to obey him. And how can you seek to obey him unless you seek to find out what his commands are? What has Christ commanded you to do? That's my question to you today. And if you don't know what Christ has commanded you to do, are you seeking that? Are you searching the scriptures? When you make a decision, okay, I'm at a crossroads, and we come to these crossroads all the time. Am I going to, you know, take this job, or am I going to take that job? Am I going to go do this weekend? Am I going to go do that this weekend? Am I going to, you know, treat this person this way or that way? When you come to these decisions, how are you making these decisions? Well, by nature, we will always make our decisions on what advantages me. But the true believer makes decisions based on what advantage is Christ? What is Christ commanding me to do? What is he telling me to do? And that must be our basis of how we make decisions. It is a work of the Spirit of God. Again, it goes back to regeneration. It goes back to the change of the heart that we are brought from loving self to loving God. And that love produces a obedience and action. So back to our original question, how do works fit into the Christian life? Well, in sanctification, they are a very integral part. My friends, Jesus says you'll know them by their fruit. If you have truly turned away from your works and turned to Christ by faith alone, therefore have been justified, then you will be sanctified. And God is sanctifying us through the work of the Spirit that is continuing in us. And that work of the Spirit is leading us to obedience. And without obedience, there is no salvation. Please don't kid yourself. If you are not purposing to obey Christ and obeying Christ, just simply not saved. I mean, granted, none of us are perfect in that obedience, and we won't be until we're glorified. But is that your concern? I mean, that's really, I think, where the line is. Is that your concern? Are you concerned today that you could be in disobedience to Christ? Does that concern you? If it doesn't, I would have to worry about your soul. Because this is the great motive of the Christian, is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And my friends, we certainly fall short. And we need to help people understand how works fit into salvation. And I think it's important to understand that if we can say up front or in justification, it is faith without works. It is faith by turning from your works, as we talked about in repentance a couple weeks ago. But then in sanctification, there will be that work of God first in the heart, which is the inward work of the Spirit. And then through that inward work of the Spirit, there will be an outward work, which will be seen in how we treat others, how we make decisions in our daily life, how we do everything will be affected by this work of the Holy Spirit in the heart. Well, that's about it for today with our time, but we'll continue next week on this great subject of faith and how faith works in salvation. So till next time, I pray that you will be looking to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you. Bye.